There's a story told about Einstein traveling from Princeton on a train. The conductor came down the aisle punching the tickets of every passenger. When he came to Einstein, he reached in his vest pocket, but he couldn't find his ticket, so he reached in his pants pockets, and it wasn't there, so he looked in his briefcase, but couldn't find it. Then he looked in the seat beside him, but he still couldn't find it. The conductor said, "Dr. Einstein, I know who you are. We all know who you are. I'm sure you bought a ticket. Don't worry about it." Einstein nodded appreciatively. The conductor continued down the aisle punching tickets. As he was ready to move to the next car, he turned around and saw the great physicist down on his hands and knees looking under his seat for the ticket. The conductor ran back and said, "Dr. Einstein, don't worry, I know who you are. No problem, you don't need a ticket. I'm sure you bought one." Einstein looked at him and said, "Young man, I too know who I am. What I don't know is where I am going." The resurrection tells us where we are going. On the first Easter, Mary, the women, the disciples, all Jesus' followers and friends did not know where they were going. Each of them was wrestling with a giant called death, who was eating away all of their hope and joy. Joseph and Nicodemus struggled with death by trying to fix it. Joseph got Jesus' body. Nicodemus bought expensive embalming ointment. Together they made the best of the situation. They made all the arrangements, followed all the customs, held a committal service, and buried Jesus in a nice tomb. Peter and the disciples struggled with death, seeking self-preservation. Peter denied Jesus to save his own life. The disciples attempted to flee death by running away from the pain. Mary and the women worked through their grief by keeping busy. They purchased spices. They gathered the anointing supplies. They got dressed in their best clothes. They left for the tomb while it was still dark. They had no idea where they were going and why, because how would they ever get past all those guards? And if they did get past the guards, there was no way they could break the seal. And even if they accomplished all of that, there was no way to roll away that massive stone. Each and every one of them was lost in a dark canyon of despair, with no real hope of ever finding their way to abundant life. They had no idea where they were going. The giant of a problem is not just that we die. The giant of the problem is the world is a mess. There is pain and there is suffering, and we can't fix this mess. Judas found the mess unbearable, so he committed suicide. The theologian Karl Barth wrote, "We are deeply imprisoned in our world of sin and death. We are incapable of helping ourselves. Admit it, there is no way out of this life with a thousand festering needs. Nothing except the possibility of a miracle can help us." Easter overcomes the mess, the festering needs, the pain, suffering, and death. Jesus took all of that to the cross. Jesus' sacrifice conquered death in all of its messy forms and buried all of it. Jesus was dead. He was crucified, pierced with a sword, embalmed, and sealed in an airtight tomb for 3 days devoid of oxygen. There is no doubt Jesus was dead. Clarence Hall declared, "Easter says you can put truth in a grave, but it won't stay there." Jesus knew where he was going. Jesus foretold his resurrection numerous times. Jesus gave foretastes of resurrection through his miracles as Jesus forgave sins, welcomed all into loving community, cured disease, made whole the broken, provided food, healed people of their physical, emotional, and spiritual pain. Jesus silenced natural disasters. Jesus gave people confidence, power, joy, and love. Jesus brought back to life a dead girl and Lazarus. Jesus cleaned up the mess, satisfied needs, and alleviated suffering. Now, the followers of Jesus wanted to believe that they, Jesus, and the world were going to glorious resurrection. However, they were afraid of the giant of death, overwhelmed by the dark canyon of despair. It wasn't until they experienced Easter that they were confident that their destination was indeed glorious resurrection. On that first Easter, not only was the tomb empty, Jesus appeared to them, talked to them, ate physical meals with them. Jesus was physically resurrected. You could touch Jesus, embrace Jesus. Easter is factual truth. Jesus was physically dead. 3 days later, Jesus was physically alive. The Apostle Paul wrote and proclaimed just 20 years after the resurrection that Jesus appeared to Peter and to the 12 and then to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters, most of whom are still living. Now, you don't write something like that unless you know that the eyewitnesses will confirm it. History books from that time support the Bible. Jesus' resurrection was no parable. It was no metaphor. It wasn't a spiritual analogy or some mystical experience. Jesus was physically resurrected. Further proof is the radical change, the transformation, the resurrection in the lives of Jesus' followers. Mary journeyed from despair to wonder, from depression to joy. The women journeyed from fear to amazement. Peter journeyed from a coward to the rock upon which the community of faith is built upon. The disciples journeyed from betrayal to bold witnesses, from sleepy to praying, from power seekers to servants, from selfish to loving. Saul journeyed from a chief persecutor of Christians to Paul, the primary missionary. The resurrection revealed to all of them exactly where they were going. Because of Jesus' resurrection, all of us know where we are going, and we know where the entire world is going. Our ultimate destination is glorious eternal life with Jesus. We are resurrection people. Phillips Brooks sings, "Tomb, thou shalt not hold Jesus longer. Death is strong, but life is stronger. Stronger than the dark, the light. Stronger than the wrong, the right." Jesus is Lord over death and destruction. Jesus is alive. The light of Christ dispels all the darkness. Jesus has risen. Despair is overcome with the joy of God. Jesus is risen indeed. Jesus has defeated all the powers of evil with love. Jesus is alive. Jesus is with us, enabling us to overcome every obstacle and empowering our resurrection. Jesus is risen. We have a great God who created all things, and one day God will fix it all up. Jesus will heal and redeem all of creation. We will all enjoy a God-perfected, God-redeemed, God-set-right life. God will establish righteous, full, vibrant, technicolor, eternal life. Jesus is risen indeed. Easter enables us to celebrate because we know where we are going. Now that alone would be more than enough to celebrate on Easter. But yet there is much more to Easter. The angel at the tomb said, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. Jesus is not here, for Jesus has been raised, as Jesus said. Come, see the place where Jesus lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'Jesus has been raised from the dead, and indeed Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see Jesus.'" See the tomb where Jesus lay. The women realized it wasn't just Jesus' death in that tomb. Somehow, it was their death, our death too. Somehow, all our sin, guilt, regret, mistakes, pain and suffering was in that tomb. Somehow, all the hate, desire for power, greed that crucified Jesus was in that tomb. Somehow, all the mess, festering knees, brokenness of the entire cosmos was there in that tomb. Everything wrong with life was in the tomb. The angel is saying to us today, to you, see the tomb where Jesus lay. Don't deny your frustrations, what's wrong with your life, what's wrong with the world. Acknowledge it. But then see it defeated, buried in the tomb. Stay for a moment, but don't linger there in death. The angel says to us, go quickly. Jesus has been raised from the dead, and indeed, Jesus is going ahead of you. You will see Jesus. Karl Barth wrote, "The Easter message tells us that our enemies, sin, the curse of death, are beaten. Ultimately, they can no longer start mischief. They still behave as though the game were not decided, the battle not fought. We must still reckon with them, but fundamentally we must cease to fear them anymore. Robert Flaff says, "The resurrection gives my life meaning and direction and the opportunity to start over, no matter what my circumstances." As the women left the tomb with fear and great joy, Jesus met them. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell the others that they will see me." Jesus is the ticket that shows us how to journey from the fearful tomb to joyful resurrection. Carl Knudsen said, "The story of Easter is the story of God's wonderful window of divine surprise." Resurrection declares that all of us are going to eternal life. Resurrection is also happening right now in you, in everyone, in all of the world today. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with Him in glory." The Apostle Paul is explaining how we can experience resurrection today and every day. Listen to the tense. We have past tense died with Christ, and we have been raised past tense to new life. Yet, our real life remains hidden. We don't fully understand who we are and where we are going. Now that hiddenness is obvious. Resurrection has merely just begun. Otherwise, disease would be eradicated. Loving community for all would be established. Suffering would have ended. And resurrection in all of its glory has just not yet been fully experienced. Easter declares that it will be and that it is currently happening. Jesus' resurrection is just the beginning. In essence, the Apostle Paul is echoing the voice of the angel, "Leave the tomb and go see Jesus. Don't linger at the tomb thinking about death. Rather, think about the realities of heaven. Think about God's glory, the world's glory, everyone's glory, and your glory that will be revealed." Now, glory is defined as resplendent beauty and magnificence. Great splendor, absolute joy, love, gratification, and contentment, heavenly bliss, radiant light, and triumphant rejoicing. Sounds pretty nice. Jesus' resurrection brings all that glory into our lives and into the world, yet, by and large, it is hidden, unrevealed. The angel and the Apostle Paul suggest that if we want to experience resurrection today, if we want to discover who we are really and where we are going, we should not linger at the tomb. Rather, we should look for the glory of resurrection happening in us and around us today, and we should strive to envision the glory of our future resurrections and our ultimate, glorious resurrection to eternal life. Martin Luther said, "Our Lord has written the promise of resurrection not only in books alone, but in every leaf in springtime." Resurrection is all around us. Hidden, unrevealed, and a bulb is a flower. In a seed, an apple tree. In cocoons, a butterfly. In the silence, a song. In the darkness, a dawn. Resurrection is in our fairy tales, hidden under outward appearances. Inner glory is revealed until ultimately a beautiful, happy ever after life for all is enjoyed. Resurrection is in our books and movies, hidden, unrevealed under evil is a hero who gloriously saves the day. The most popular TV shows today are reality shows that reveal hidden glory. American Idol, hidden in an undiscovered person, is the glory of a great singer. The Biggest Loser, hidden under poor eating and a lack of exercise, is the glory of a healthy lifestyle and body. Dancing with the Stars, hidden, awaiting the right training and partner, is the glory of graceful dancing. Resurrection is hidden in us, revealed when we give to the food shelf, revealing the glory of satisfied hungers, to one great hour of sharing, revealing the glory of lives redeemed from poverty, to work camp, revealing the glory of repaired homes and renewed lives. Hidden in every departure and goodbye is the unrevealed glory of reunion. Resurrection is in our work, service, love, in our unique gifts and abilities. Resurrection is in us. Hidden in our spiritual practices is the unrevealed glory of soul renewal, your extreme makeover. Hidden, unrevealed, under the tarnish of sin and pain and suffering is the glory of our unique, loving, spectacular, true self. Hidden, unrevealed, in the water of baptism is a cleansed and perfected life. Hidden, unrevealed, in the bread and juice of communion is the eternal feast of heaven. Yet, most of that glory is hidden, unrevealed. The Gospel of John declares, "See what love God has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this, when Christ is revealed, we will be like Jesus, for we will see Him as He is." The glory of where we are going, who we are, is by and large hidden, unrevealed, awaiting resurrection. Jesus is our ticket to our ultimate destination, glorious resurrection. Easter is the celebration of Jesus' resurrection. Resurrections today, future resurrections, and ultimately the glory of your resurrection. Look in the tomb, and you will see that the world and all of us are indeed imperfect. But don't linger there. Go see Jesus. See God's forgiveness, healing, perfecting grace, eternal love, abundant joy. See God's power to renew life. See resurrection. See eternal life. And try to imagine our destination. Glorious resurrection. Amen.